Hey, commissioners, can you hear me?
You don't have any closed session.
We can hear you, Stephen.
To go to, we
All
can hear,
right.
but hang in
That
there.
might be the last time I talk tonight, but
logistics.
Stephen can vote.
Yeah,
everything is a roll call vote tonight. That's all resolutions, with the exception of consent. Does consent have to happen in a roll call?
Yeah, so everything's a roll call vote. And you can scoot over to his chair.
Oh, I'm not going to take that chair. I'm happy over here.
On there, I don't want to disrespect your chair. Do it up there.
Too late.
I'll do it for you.
I'm getting any heights, but the air conditioner is broke.
Tell me when we're ready. Okay, going to call to order the regular session of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. And welcome, everyone. We're going to move ahead. We did not have closed session, so we're going to move ahead to item four. And so we called to order. And Brett Vivian, do you mind leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Can we need a roll call first, please?
Oh, we need a roll call. Thank
Sorry.
You. Afterwards. Now you got to roll.
Sorry. Commissioner Norton.
Here.
Commissioner Benson.
Here.
Commissioner Dale.
Here.
Rob Homeland, or excuse me, Newman, Commissioner Newman.
Yeah.
Trying to be prepared for Stephen being online. And President Coleman.
Can you hear us?
No, he
can you speak?
He raised his hand.
Okay, he's here. All right, very good. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
Start. Move. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. One nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Sorry, Aaron and Rob.
Okay, so we did not have a closed session this evening, so we're skipping right through item six and right to public comments. So this is an opportunity for the public to speak on items not on this evening's agenda.
I'm sorry.
Are there any public comments in the house?
Yeah.
Seeing none, are there any public comments from the online participants? Anyone put your hand up if you'd like to make a public comment? Okay. Seeing none, we are moving right along. Okay. Consent calendar. This is item eight. So this is for adopting minutes.
I move to accept it or to approve the. Thank you.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. So let's move right to the vote.
Commissioner Norton.
Aye.
Commissioner Benson.
Aye.
President Coleman.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
And Commissioner Newman.
Yes.
Okay, communications, reports, and correspondence received. We'll start with correspondence.
So just one quick thing to mention, our friends at Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, along with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, has a big campaign going on right now about invasive mussels and vessels. Well, this doesn't necessarily affect Humboldt Bay directly. It certainly affects our waters locally. So I do want to acknowledge there's a big campaign out. We posted it. Obviously, we get a lot of people bringing boats in and out of Humboldt Bay and local waters. So we just want to support them in that effort. It certainly is a big issue in the areas they're managing. So if you're looking for those, I had put some cards out there. If anybody's interested, you're welcome to take one. And if you know boaters, remind them that they got to get their stickers and keep their vessels so perfectly clean. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Mickelson. Okay, why don't you hold the floor with the Executive Director's report.
My devices are not connecting. Okay, so we've been meeting with the Yukon Chamber of Commerce most recently with their Business and Industry Committee. We have some special guests here from international ports in another part of the world, as well as their industry. I'll allow others to report on that. Went to the Vero Networks ribbon cutting. They're looking to put fiber for all of Humboldt County over time. There are areas both in Eureka and Arcata that are now built out for service. As everyone knows, we're very much involved in the fiber optic cable landing site. It's not just property, working with Connie Stewart and her team, and
Vero is the retailer that will be providing those services here in the community. So they had a ribbon cutting recently, and I was very happy to tend to be a part of that. And we're trying to connect again. There we go. Two at a time. Met with the ILWU Local 14. That's our International Longshoremen and Warehouse Workers Union. Their Northern District Council held a meeting here two Saturdays ago. And one of the things that's new for us, we've been doing a lot of outreach for other agencies, is the California Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development, we know it as GoBiz, often receives solicitations for businesses looking to locate in California. And we have not been a direct recipient of those solicitations. However, we'd ask that we would be as a municipality, as well as a very large land manager, landowner along the peninsula. We have a lot of the attributes that are necessary for some of these type of operations. So we now have a direct line with them, and we'll have some recurring meetings there. So really happy about that. RWE, as I mentioned, you know, there was a lot of scuttlebutt about some of the layoffs of staff, and what we did lose some peers. They're finding work in other places around the community. We're happy about that. But their leadership continues to visit Humboldt County, continues to engage with the district, the County of Humboldt and others, ensuring their commitment here, as well much as maintaining their lease value. And they've been very you know, vocal about that. What is going on here? The Tula Box Bartender Removal Project, we're moving into year three. That's a 5, maybe 6 year project. We're looking for some status report as to where we stand right now at this point in the project. So I just want to note that this, as we move into this new year, we're going into our third year of treatment. And then we had a Cal Poly graduate call us somewhat at the last minute, but she was out 2 weeks ago, this coming Monday, so about a week and a half ago, doing an Osprey survey. In these cases, the PG&E cooperated with them. They went up in the nests, banded babies, took blood samples in some cases, and had other incidental discoveries. Elizabeth Meisman is her name. She's worked for the district on behalf of, worked for Nordic Aqua Farms, I should say, in regards to their future development when we were doing surveys. Anyways, is doing her graduate studies now. So she's going to bring a presentation to us back in September. Coming in September. I do this really slowly because there's some kind of delay tonight. We had our AC 2025 dredge schedule, so it's now complete. I've been reporting on this for the last 3 months. This is our barred entrance in federal dredging. Come on.
I'm sure if you click it like 10 or 12 times quick in a row,
there we go. Really helps out. It's good. We'll be right to the end of the minutes. But the ACOE, Dredge Aquina, did their federal channel work a bit ago. The ACOE Dredge Essions, of course, was the initial barn interest work in preparation for Manson's Bayport Dredge to come in. They did the nearshore placement. Again, as we've reported previously, once that data is assembled, we'll have a presentation from the Corps here at a board meeting. Right now, with support of USGS, they're headed back later in the month of July to complete some of that work and some of the surveys related to the lands portion. I believe that presentation will be in October. We have a couple of upcoming meetings as to status updates on final placement and some of the final reporting. But really big shout out to our team at the Army Corps of Engineers and the private contractor Manson. A side note to this is Manson does come into the community for quite a period of time. They lease slips here in the marina, work with our staff directly in terms of their support vessels, and they're an absolute class operation. So by all accounts, we probably got 1.3 million plus cubic yards out of our barn entrance and federal channels this year. I've only been involved with the district for 6 years. For the 6 years I've been here, I can say that is our most successful season. And that's all with the efforts of all of our maritime folks who go to the harbor safety committees, our bar pilots, all of our vessel traffic in terms of large-scale commercial traffic, Chevron, U.S. Coast Guard, our team that's working on dredging operations. But this was really a shining moment for the Army Corps. They really, as they say, did us a solid. So I want to note, we get more dredging in Humboldt Bay than Redwood City does. And Redwood City has way more on the commerce side to the government. That is shallower waters because of the commodities they have there. They'd love to do more dredging. So Things seem to be going really well for us in that world. And it's just really important to take a moment and recognize that and thank them. So pass it over to Rob.
So we had some visitors from Japan. The taller gentleman on the left is from the Ports and Harbor Association of Japan, representing all of the ports of the nation. The other two gentlemen are from the private company Flocon, floating offshore wind construction. And the nation of Japan has the same offshore wind goal for their nation as the U.S., as the Biden administration set for the U.S. Their land area is 25 times smaller. The population is one third, but they have the same offshore wind renewable energy goals. So they went to L.A. here, Denver, to meet with NREL, National Renewable Energy Lab, who is really leading the new technology of wind turbines, happened to have all of their turbines on land, then to Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York, and then back to Japan. So quite a tour they were taking to the U.S. and had lunch at Jack Seafood, took them on a tour. It was a good day. And you'll hear more about the project in a moment.
Okay, moving on to Treasury Report.
I think she'll be joining us during the budget items.
Ryan, is there any, I'm just taking the prompt from here. Is there anything for council?
Nothing for me.
While we're waiting, I just want to just do a shout out to you, Chris, for, you know, for what a great dredging year. You had a lot to do with that. Really appreciative.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we don't get to do the happy dance around dredging all the time, and so it's nice to get a little bit.
We're getting a lot of support. We've got some good federal partners out there that are really helping us. Mike, do you have a report?
Just kind of ongoing support work. Okay. Phil's landing and with Harold and Rio.
Mike's kind of become my right hand and my left hand in a lot of this environmental stuff. Boy, we've had some real doozies with trying to get prepared for keeping all of our SWIPs in place, all of our annual reporting, changes in use, and some of our interim uses we have out at the mill and things we have to do to keep them where we have an exemption out there and we can keep our stormwater plan dormant. Obviously, we're getting into construction season for Phil's landing, so I've been ringing his phone a lot with full admission. Thank you, Mike.
I have a question, Mike, and you may not be able to answer it yet because maybe the monitoring hasn't been done, but I'm just curious how the near shore sediment deposition has improved. Has it improved the outfall, the exposed parts of the outfall at all? Are we seeing more sand accumulation on the beach yet?
No, I didn't see it again. It's just more, yeah. I just periodically drop by and look at that. Yeah. And this year was a lot less. It was fairly exposed versus last year.
Uh-huh.
I can't quite recall when they started that. So I think even the winter turns a little milder. Yeah. And they started the near shore placement.
Yeah.
It's encouraging. One of the steps are coming up soon is, you know, we've been reaching out to the agencies and getting ready to set up some meetings on Corey, talk about the onshore. So that those are effective. There's no big task I had this past month. There's just been a lot of miscellaneous small things ongoing.
Thank you. Moving to the district planner report.
Anything to report? Covering the permit later.
Okay, very good. Moving to commissioner and committee reports. I guess I'll start off. I'm sorry I missed last month, but I went back east to watch my last daughter graduate college, and that was great. That was worth very, very worthwhile to see that very proud moment. And then since I've been back, been attending the community advisory committee meetings and the 7 a.m. Advisory heavy lift marine terminal advisory committee right here, and it's just being run really well. So Kristen's doing a great job. Rob is doing a great job. So we're getting so much good input from the community. I think the value of those are immeasurable. And I think we're really harvesting good data, good information, and community understanding of the project. That's it.
Well, yeah, I just had a meeting today with on the Green Harbor Advisory Committee. And I wasn't able to participate in the whole meeting, but for an hour I did. And It seemed like it's progressing well. We're just a few steps, I think, a little slow on the reporting, getting some of the reports out to the committee members in advance. But that was that's no big deal. I think there was a lot of positive input, and we're still on track for developing, getting the people's comments on the draft plan.
I really don't have anything much to report.
Okay. I just want to also mention the importance of the dredging and congratulate everybody for the success. Humboldt Bay's arguably one of the most dangerous entrances on the West Coast, and the more dredging, the safer it is for recreational and commercial fishermen and sailboats, whoever. It's just the deeper it is, the more predictable it is. So
great, great news.
That's a survey.
Happy dance.
All right. When we get the surveys, we'll do the happy dance.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move then to item 10A under unfinished business. So, receive a status.
I'd like to give a report as well, though.
Get out of my mind.
That's okay, Craig. I've had a pretty busy time of it since our last meeting. First, participated in this the RMT1 site tour. I think that was either last week or the week before, and so I recommend that for anyone who's on any of the various committees. It was very worthwhile, and people seem to get a whole lot out of it. So I thank Rob for leading that. Also was at the meeting with the delegation from Japan. Always great to hear interest internationally in what we're doing here in Humboldt. Right now I'm remote because I'm in San Jose at the California Climate and Energy Collaborative Forum. It's a local government forum put on by the 7 regional energy networks in California, of which up here in Humboldt we're one of the newest, spanning the North Coast and Sierra Nevada region, developing energy efficiency and workforce programs. And although this was a work-related trip, really felt like I was able to glean a lot that I'd like to bring back for the work on the commission too. A lot of work with local government officials and how to achieve goals, especially in these like really difficult funding times. And although I missed it, Katarina Oskarson from the Humboldt Area Foundation was also on a panel, and from what I heard, represented Humboldt extremely well. People had lots of good things to say about that. And then next month, I think prior to our meeting, I'm going to be traveling to DC with the elected officials to Protect America, which is also a climate-related group of elected local officials. So feeling that will also be very interesting. So that's what I've had going on. None of these trips are at any cost to the district. They're the EOP one is a scholarship, and like I said, this one was work related. But thanks for letting me join remotely, and good job, Craig, leading the meeting.
Thank you, and we appreciate that you're getting so much education, about so many things, not on the district's dime, from your own personal interest, says a lot about you as a harbor commissioner. So thank you. Okay, I think we're ready now to receive the status update regarding the Humboldt Bay Offshore Heavy Lift Marine Terminal Project.
All right. So per feedback, this should take a little less time than it has in previous meetings. So you'll hear the tonight's presentations in just a moment. In August, we're looking at operations, cost estimates, ship traffic. September is energy and utilities related. October is permitting and CEQA NEPA. November, Baywide Master Plan. December, impacts and mitigation. So just a reminder of what's coming ahead. Tonight, you'll hear from Brett Vivian of GHD about roadway access, Tom about what is staging. We talk a lot about the integration part of the project, but what is the staging part? And then Director Mickelson will talk about phase one, site contamination. Here you go, Brett, if you can go up there. All right. Thanks for having me out.
Oh, I'm sorry. This I put Tom first because he's on the me. East Coast.
Yes. Tom.
Take it away.
We're going to put you in the driver's seat, Tom, and you can go first.
Thomas Hickey.
There we go. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Go ahead and share my screen.
Great.
It says I'm sending requests.
Oh. He's going to control his own screen.
There we go. Can you see my screen?
We can.
All right. So my name is Tom Hickey. I'm with Moffitt & Nichol out of our Boston office. I work primarily as an offshore wind operations and planning planner. I also specialize in maritime operations as well. So let me just have a hard time with this application. Just a second. There we go. So Redwood Multipurpose Marine Terminal Replacement Project is intended to be a staging integration port. For those of you that haven't seen the previous month's presentations, the basic concept of this is that components come into the port from the original equipment manufacturers. They're ready for integration. Things are put together, and then we spit out this integrated floating offshore wind turbine to be towed out to its installation site. So what is staging integration as part of this? What we're looking at here is a rendering of the Sears Island Wind Terminal concept in Maine. And the staging integration portion of this is the lower side here where you see all these turbine components. Essentially, this is the operations hub of the entire project. It's the import of components, the storage and staging of them, pre-assembly and integration and export of the project site. So the import of components. Components will arrive by water from their manufacturers. They're much too large to be shipped to the terminal by road or rail. The components need to be offloaded onto the quay before they're transported up into the uplands, and that's usually done by one of two methods. One would be what we call LOLO, which is lift on, lift off, using either cranes from onboard the vessel, which are called geared vessels, or shoreside cranes, which we call ungeared vessels. The second method is RORO, or roll on, roll off, which you see on the right side of your screen here, where essentially there's a ramp from the vessel, and components are rolled off on these special transporters. After components are offloaded from the vessel, they are moved to upland storage areas to await integration. So components will typically arrive on a frame of some sort. The nacelles, which are the generating portion of the wind turbine, will arrive on a steel frame. They're stored on top of footings in the uplands, which allow the SPMT, which allow access for lifting and movement, and also spread load. The nacelles are actually the driving factor for our upland bearing capacity for the terminal. They can weigh as much as 1,500 tons and be as big as you can see here at 85 by 45 by 45. The blades are stored on individual footings or more often now stacked in frames, usually at a maximum of three high. One frame is on the root and one is about two-thirds of the way down the blade. Towers similarly will arrive on frames and are stored horizontally. Generally in the uplands, we'll see between 2 and 3 meters between components and 4 to 6 meters of transport corridors between rows of components to allow access for lifting and movement equipment. So you see on the left side here, these are nacelles in New London State Pier. And the right side here is New Bedford Marine Commerce Terminal in Massachusetts, which is actively building out the Vineyard Wind project. The nacelles will also require power outlets in the uplands. It's a very small power draw, but it's needed for things like climate control inside that's very sensitive equipment. lubrication. These nacelles will generally rotate once a day or so just to keep all the bearings wet. And also onboard diagnostics, computers, things like that as they prepare for installation. You'll also have smaller equipment in the yard like forklifts, cherry pickers, scissor lifts, reach stackers, containers, and mobile work trailers. Developers will bring those in as needed to support their operations, gain access to the equipment, and things like that. So pre-assembly, So pre-assembly. So all of those components are being staged for ultimate integration onto a floating foundation. Before that happens, 1 to 2 sets are ready for integration by moving them over to the key. The tower sections are rotated and integrated vertically. 3 blades are brought nearby and in a cell. The assembled tower will sit about 450 feet high on the key. And then that tower will actually be lifted in one piece onto the floating foundation by the crane that I'll show you in a minute here. So how do we actually move around these massive components throughout the terminal? The heart of our operation here is really what we call these SPMTs, or self-propelled modular transporters. These are like their name describes, like a modular flatbed, essentially. They're usually 4 or 6 axles, and each set of wheels can move independently. The deck is lowered and raised to lift things on hydraulics. And these are now being powered electrically as we intend to have them in Humboldt. We also have crawler cranes, which can be about 400 feet in height. These are used for unloading cargo vessels, maybe lifting components onto SPMTs, general use things like that, probably 2 of them in an S&I area. And they might actually be used for stacking the tower depending on the size of the turbine. And these will be electrically powered likely as well. A little bit more about the SPMTs, a small clip up here. You can see an SPMT moving a nacelle throughout a terminal. This is Port of Nigg in the UK, which is building out the, I believe it's Inchcape wind farm. The SPMTs can be formed into trains. Essentially, that's what they call them. Essentially, you can combine individual SPMTs side by side, end to end, or even independently and linked only by their control data virtually. They can rotate, walk sideways, forwards, backwards, anything really. They're self-leveling, and they're used to transport the world's heaviest objects. There's virtually nothing that cannot be lifted with enough axles and a large enough train. The largest lift to date with SPMTs is at 23,000 metric tons using 800 axles. And that was actually the unload of the U.S.-built wind turbine installation vessel. We'll be pushing that with some of the concrete foundations, but likely not nearly as high with steel foundations. Lifting equipment continued. So we'll also have more than likely a ring crane on the key in an S&I site. These are among the largest land-based cranes in the world with capacities of up to 5,000 tons and lifting height capabilities at closer to 900 or 1,000 feet. The ones that you'll see in Humboldt will be closer to 700 to 750 feet based on the size of the turbines that we're anticipating. And they'll lift that nacelle at about 1,200 tons up to the top of the integrated tower on top of the floating platform. These cranes are actually the driving factor for our key bearing capacity at about 6,000 pounds per square foot. So how does all this apply in Humboldt? So this is an old rendering. This is from 15% design. So you see this be updated as we move forward. Essentially, you have your delivery berth where the components are coming in. They're being unloaded to the key. Your SPMTs over here will move them into upland storage, allowing transport corridors for access. They'll then be moved to, as needed, over to the integration area, where you'll see one full set, which is 3 blades, a full set of tower sections. You can see it kind of being integrated vertically by the ring crane and installed onto a floating platform. This second berth could serve as a second integration berth, or more likely what is being requested is a commissioning berth. Once this is fully assembled, they'll be able to have access to it for pre-commissioning activities before they tow out to sea. And that's it. Any questions?
Thank you so much. I'll start with a question. There'll probably just be a few. We heard from the geotechnical engineer and kind of, you know, looking at sort of the geologic hazards here, especially, you know, seismic and related tsunami. And so we have a pretty good idea about what the hazard profiles are here. I'm just curious from you, Thomas, whether there's anything about the staging that's really going to accommodate or increase our resilience to those kinds of hazards.
Yeah, so I think that's actually probably more of like a question for the coastal guys. I'm probably not the right person to answer it. I can say that all of that's being taken into account. The staging areas have a minimum elevation that protects them in a floodplain, but generally all of the pieces that are being stored are very resilient. I mean, they're meant to operate offshore for 25, 30 years at a time and survive some of the worst storms that are out there. So I wish I had a better answer for you, but I think that's probably more of a question for the coastal guys.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you very much. Questions from any other commissioners, staff? Do I take this to the public for questions? Yeah. Public, any questions from the public? Okay. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks. Thank you for having me.
All right. Next up is Brett.
All right. We are going to talk about the exciting world of access roads. so this will be brief, but you know what we're really talking about here is vehicle access from New Navy Base Road to the Redwood Marine Terminal site. The two locations for access, primary access, is kind of referred to as the West Access. So that is LP Drive off or LP Road off of New Navy Base Road, and then along Vance Avenue and the Entrance Access Road. So kind of same as previous access to that area and those parcels. And then there's the North Access, which is from New Navy Base Road on to Cookhouse Road and then Vance Avenue and the North Entrance. So that's kind of a secondary access. So when we say primary access, that's what we're talking about with larger vehicles coming in to the site. Secondary access, that's more so like the staff and workers and smaller personal vehicles. However, both need to be designed for larger vehicles and the turning radiuses and such. This does require quite a bit of coordination, as you might be able to imagine, but thinking about the adjacent properties, so incorporating and coordinating with the Samoa Town Master Plan and the Samoa Pacific Group and what their future plans are, the roadway right-of-way, which is county, and then also private properties and access adjacent to private properties. So coordination there. We're also thinking about the utility corridor, consolidating utilities to serve the site from the West Access in particular, and thinking about the water, sewer, power, fiber optics, and gas. Also the Great Redwood Trail, and as a community benefit, that's a portion of that trail from basically all along that West Access from LP Drive to just to the North Entrance. Great Redwood Trail will be accommodated, and trail will be constructed. So we're doing that design, and then thinking about the drainage conditions to accommodate drainage so we don't have ponding. And then really just kind of thinking about access roads and design parameters. So, you know, the driver for a lot of this is roadway design vehicles. In particular, you know, what is allowable on the roads that get you to the site, and then looking at that maximum vehicle, which is a 50-foot design vehicle for the state highway, which kind of limits the access or is the design parameter. And then we think about speed, stopping distance, and geometry of the roads, thinking about non-motorized users, in particular, clearance and separation from non-motorized users. So that's folks who are walking or on bicycles or other modes of transportation. And then really looking at the intersections, the lane widths, the turn pockets, the width and the shoulder width and any modifications, and then accommodating the changes to the site elevation. So I think that everyone's aware that the site will be elevated. And so then the access roads need to kind of gradually rise to that site elevation. simple and brief, but I'm happy to take questions if there are any.
We appreciate brevity and also is interesting. The question I have is the primary entrance will be at the west at the LP entrance. Is that because is that logistical around turning radii and stuff, or is that because it will impact the fewest amount of residents? What was the main reason for that?
Let Rob comment on that, and I can add detail as needed.
Both entrances are trying to be optimized to minimize impacts to residents. So that north entrance there, Cookhouse Road to Vance Avenue, is a left, whereas anyone that lives in the town will be taking a right there. So there's very little, you know, overlap with residential patterns. But the west access, once the whole project is built out, it makes more sense for the majority of operations to come in from that side. Larger parking lot, bigger buildings where the office buildings are. So there's a lot of considerations.
Thank you. Other questions from commissioners?
Aaron and I were just kind of chuckling. This site, our first meeting as harbor commissioners was about ingress and egress around these sites. And this is a mess with all of the easements and all of the roads and all of the property ownership or not. And, you know, I know what you're going through. So nice job.
Questions from staff or public? Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Vivian.
Bravo. Thanks for having me.
And we'll have one more presentation.
We'll get the clicker. Sweet. Yeah, that's why everything was open. Okay, so this is really talking about our US EPA brownfields, our land recycling program. And I just must be technology in that because it was working for me tonight. So we have a US EPA cooperative agreement. This is under the brownfields assessment planning with US EPA. And in this particular case, it's a community-wide assessment grant, which allows us to do more than just our specific own parcel, but allows us to have a little bit bigger footprint in the area and also examine lands that are not necessarily owned or controlled by the Harbor District. And we have taken a bit of time here to work with our property owners to get their consent and the appropriate licensing agreements in place, allowing us to move forward. So thank you, Ryan. 2 years. We got a lot of pushback from one of our landowners, but they're definitely engaged now. It's 100% cost share grant. What that means is there's no matching funds required from the Harbor District. The award amount is $500,000. And as part of that, we do get to collect an administrative fee for staff time for our extended staff, such as our district engineer and others. So this is a great grant for us to receive. We got the maximum award, and we're really glad to finally be able to use it. The area outlined in green kind of gives you the footprint of the area, and that mainly is the terminal project. Within that, the bulk of those projects parcels are being studied. There's a couple of small carve outs. It's important to note this is all upland. There certainly is no in water contained or none of the tideland parcels. They cannot be studied as part of this grant. And really, the makeup is about four property owners, with the bulk of the land being owned by the Harbor District. So we know this is what the site looks like today. It's time to recycle it and clean it up. So we're going to apply our USAP grant, EPA grant, get going on that. Right now, our selected contractor is TerraPhase. They were selected through a competitive process, and the accepting one little insurance quandary on their side, we're ready to be under contract. So I'm told the contract will come back to us no later than the 11th. I believe that's tomorrow. So task one of the contract is the overall project management, task two being a phase one environmental assessment of each one of these parcels. Of course, two would be a phase two environmental assessment to get in there and do some sampling and have a better understanding for what was actually out there. And then remediation planning. And perhaps if we have some monies left over, we can start talking a little bit about cleanup. There's a pretty good budget category set aside for this. About $408,000 goes directly to the contractor for these services. The other parts relate to administrative costs, district engineer costs. And you'll notice if you could see in there, there's about $16,000 for travel. And that's for staff and one of our community advisory people to take a trip back to a land recycling contest. Jeez, what's with me tonight? What do you call those things you go to? Conference, oh, not a contest. And in any event, there's a healthy travel budget in there for that. And so it'll be very interesting to attend a recycling conference. So pretty quick, pretty simple, but that's really the bulk of it. We're glad after a lot of delays for site control reasons, we're finally able to proceed and looking forward to get underway.
Thank you, Director Mickelson. Any questions from commissioners or comments?
No.
All right. Just since I seem to be the one who likes to comment, I'm just going to say that, you know, I came into this commission, 20 years after this commission, the Harbor District has really been focusing on remediation and rehabilitating these, relic industrial sites. And we've become quite good at it. And so I'm just pleased to see that and moving forward and leveraging all the lessons that we've learned and being better and better at it all the time. So good job. Okay. I think, those are all our presentations tonight. Thank you.
I'm back here on the screen. You can't necessarily see me. Just echoing what Craig said, thanks to the staff for really pushing this forward on the remediation and the brownfields cleanup. And the whole brownfields program is about beneficial reuse of contaminated sites. And so the cleanup of these sites around the harbor doesn't happen without some sort of beneficial reuse and economic development. And I just can't say that enough. I think the work that we're doing to, first in Redwood Marine Terminal 2 and now in Redwood Marine Terminal 1 to bring new industry to these areas, a big part of it is about getting these legacy sites cleaned up, that there really wouldn't be any other funding to clean them up without that. So I just don't think that can be overstated. In addition to all the jobs and economic benefit that these projects bring, it's also doing a great service to our bay to clean up some of these legacy sites. So thanks again for doing that.
Great. Thank you, President Coleman. Okay, we're moving on now to item 11, which is new business. And we'll be looking at considering adopting budget resolution. Will we be hearing a report on that?
Okay.
Here's the big one. Oh, there goes the public. This is a good night. The schnoozer is
coming. So it is that time of year again. I want to review briefly where we started last month when we went through the preliminary budget. And just remind you that we have estimated income coming in of about $10,240,000, expenses at $9,485,000. So we have estimated net income of $755,000. These are rounded to the nearest 5 or 10. That number's significant because we have the principal portion of our debt reduction, which has to occur, and that is $544,000 a year. So we don't have a lot of meat left once that's applied. But we have an exceptional record of paying our debt, and we're getting close on some of these and really getting those down, and refunding is one of the things we'll look at in a moment. But one of the directions was we've got to reduce our capital projects. Remember, we came in with $430,000. So we have $211,000 that we could essentially apply, and then anything outside of that has to operate on existing cash or projects the district has in place that are either funded by grants or other means. So looking at this, these are the actions that are taken from the preliminary budget discussion that we had. So the capital projects were reduced by $219,000. The leasing campaign, of course, is ongoing. We talked about our space and our fees at the last meeting in regard to available space at Redwood Marine Terminal 2. If there's additional opportunities in unleased land, Fields Landing Boatyard, because we do have land beneath the actual operating boatyard or south of there. Also, is there more opportunity either in slips or some of the facilities, storage otherwise, that we have here at Whitley Island Marina? We could increase fees. So there was discussion about an internal study getting underway. So staff is doing an internal fee review regionally and for similar municipalities and what they charge for some of the fees that we charge. We plan to bring that to the board for review and potentially a decision in August. If we are to assess fees, we're going to have some recommendations for how they would be done and the timing to which they would be done. We want to make sure that we're not creating great burden upon our tenants and our users of our facilities, but also being able to charge for what we do and what we provide. We talked about slowing down long-range projects. We can't slow down Zugla and NEPA. That's just not something we're going to do. And we can only touch the technical stuff where it's feasible. We can't just stop. We're working very tightly on this, trying to make sure that we're using the right balance. That is one area that may have some effect. We also talked about refunding our existing debt. And while that's under review, there are some long-term debt obligations out there that pay off in the next 3 to 5 years. Maybe one is 6 years. And it's not probably going to generate the large amount of capital that we would want it to in comparison to the amount of cash flow we're going to free up. We're going to keep a similar probably debt structure. Interest costs are much higher than they were at the time. Interest rates are higher than they were at the time. So it may not have the effect that we hope it will. And just bearing down and getting that payoff might actually give us the better, but we'll have that examination for you. That will not be part of the August fee schedule. That would be a separate examination. There's a lot more to do when we underwrite debt. From a cash flow projection standpoint, you're going to notice that we're going to start the year off almost $1 million in the hole. This is related to a booking that will occur for costs that were incurred in the prior fiscal year that will be income will be received and it will be paid in the current fiscal year. So this is just simply an accounting entry to recognize that and make sure that it's consistent for the purposes of our operations to budget comparisons, as well as to make sure we're acknowledging our positions. Mindy, are you able to bring the budget up?
Yeah.
No, that was what we were going to do with the PDF.
Well, the budget is coming up.
If we don't have it, that's okay. We can refer to the paper. We were going to do it on a PDF, but that's
we have hard copies of that. For further discussion, I'd actually like to put the resolution on the floor. So I'm proposing resolution number 2025-04 to adopt the final fiscal year 2025-2026 Humboldt Bay Harbor District budget.
You have a second? Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your report.
Absolutely.
This commission passed this last month, the preliminary budget. So the budget proposed before tonight is identical, really. But there's still an opportunity here for questions from both commissioners and the public, if there are any. So start with opening up questions or comments to the commission.
I don't have any at this point.
Neither do I. President Coleman, any comments or questions on the budget before we move
to the public? No, not at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's move it to the public. Is there anybody in the public wishing to comment on the budget? It's where the rubber meets the road. This is the important stuff. Okay, seeing none, let's have a roll call vote.
Okay. Before we do that, I do want to make sure that we acknowledge the work of Mindy Hiley and Lindsay Grossman on the budget. This is a big, big undertaking. It's done at a time when there's fiscal year end happening or beginning a new fiscal year. Obviously, the balance of managing a multitude of grants. So I want to make sure, I know they often don't want to be recognized, but it's important that we call out staff and our consultants who had a really big part to this.
Thank you. It was very comprehensive, very readable, and the summary was really great. Thank you. Both of the decision makers.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes, sir.
With the S for you?
What's that?
We're taking a roll call vote.
Oh, are we? Yes.
Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman? President Coleman?
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Norton?
Yes.
And Commissioner Benson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Not used to it going that
fast. He told me I could call that roll call vote, and then I said, just before we do that. So
you're very linear.
Thank you, Wendy and Lindsay.
We have an approved budget. Congratulations to all. Okay, item 10B, consider adopting resolution 2025-05, approving an addendum to the initial study mitigated negative declaration for the Harbor District Permit 2024-03 with conditions for Chevron Eureka Marine Terminal Repair Project. Will we be having any presentation on this, or we just go with the recommendation? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to provide a brief project summary, and then I believe the applicant's representative, one of them, is on the Zoom too. So okay. If there are any
good
specific questions that I can answer. So just a little background first. In 2016-2017, Chevron did conduct some seismic retrofits at their facility in Eureka. It involved the pipeway along the dock causeway, and they installed 24 steel piles to upgrade that and a new support system. And at that time, the Harbor District adopted an initial study mitigated negative declaration and a mitigation monitoring and reporting program. And 71 treated timber piles were removed for mitigation around that time period. And it did result in a mitigation credit that is being applied to the current proposed work, or proposed to be applied to the proposed work. So this is just location map where it is in Christie Street in Eureka, kind of behind the Bayshore Mall-ish. And the current proposed project is just replacing 5 timber piles on the dock itself, or the causeway, with going from 14-inch to 16-inch polyurea coated timber piles, and replacement of some of the pile bracing. In addition, a beam will be replaced on the working platform and 2 guide piles on the floating dock. And the next slide, I think, shows the work area, approximate work areas outlined in purple. The kind of top central one is where the piles will be replaced. The lower central one is the beam that's being replaced on the work platform. And then the upper left-hand corner is the floating platform where the piles are going to be replaced there. So all work will be staged and conducted from a barge with a crane using vibratory pile driving. But if refusal occurs, an impact hammer will be used. And so there is mitigation for if that is the case. And the causeway piles are located in eelgrass habitat. The guide flow piles that are being replaced are not. There are BMPs that minimize turbidity, capture and remove debris, minimize biological resource impacts. And there have been a number of project-specific studies. A biological assessment was prepared, eelgrass mitigation monitoring reporting plan, hydroacoustic monitoring and marine mammal monitoring plan, and an incidental take permit application for potential impacts to longfin smelt has also been prepared, all by H.D. Harvey and Associates. The applicant is also obtaining permits from all the other regulatory agencies that are required and are working with them to do that and kind of define the mitigation ratios and requirements for that. The ISMND, Initial Study Mitigated Negative Declaration, that was adopted in 2016. We're proposing an addendum to that document just for these additional modifications to the doc. And there are no new significant environmental impacts or a substantial increase in those impacts. It's the same project area. It's very similar types of environmental impacts that will occur from this project, pile installation and removal. And at that time, mitigation monitoring and reporting program was adopted. I have them kind of summarized here. I wasn't going to go through them in detail, but I can get into specifics if there are questions that cover the timing of work, if impact pile driving are used, what mitigation needs to be in place at that time, the hydroacoustic monitoring, bubble curtains, and then it does define that mitigation will be required for potential impacts to longfin smelt and to eelgrass. The original project was a mitigation ratio of 2-1. Currently, the agencies are requesting an additional mitigation that results in a 4.28-1 ratio. So all of the previously adopted mitigation measures are going to be implemented in this project as well. And the application was submitted last year. It was put on hold for a bit, and then we came back to it. Notices and referrals were sent out to agencies and tribes. A couple of minor comments were received. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service commented on the BA, but that was addressed and updated BA was prepared. Minor clarification on the project from the Bear River Tribe, and the County Department of Environmental Health did comment, just providing information and resources about the disposal of treated wood waste. And the application and all of the support materials are available on the Harbor District's website. So staff is recommending approval, adoption of the addendum, and approval of the permit with conditions.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Before we vote, are there any questions or comments from commissioners on this?
Nope. I want to say something. Nice job, Vanessa. Mm-hmm. This has been going on a long time. These guys do a good job taking care of that dock. They are, I mean, I don't know if people understand what goes across that dock every week of the year. And they just don't have a problem. They take care of business. They do a good job. Mm-hmm. And a dock like that is not easy to maintain. And it seems like they are exceptional. And you are exceptional. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and my comment is that, you know, this is something we're getting used to. The removal and or replacement of piles is becoming just one of our kinds of business that it becomes fairly regular. So we don't have as many questions as we might have had, you know, a few years ago. All right. Thank you for that presentation. Any comments or questions from the public?
Okay.
President Coleman, any comments or questions? Okay. So we'll move to the vote.
Commissioner Norton?
Aye.
Commissioner Benson?
Aye.
President Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Dale?
Yes.
Mr. Newman?
Yes.
Motion passes. Okay, we're to 10C, consider adopting resolution 2025-06 to authorize the execution of a grant agreement and accept funds from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife for Secretariat Services for the Harbor Safety Committee and the Humboldt Bay Area for fiscal year 2025-2026.
We'll just take a motion.
So moved. I'll second. Anytime we get money from Fish and Game out there.
Okay.
So this Secretariat grant allows us to operate our OSPR program. So we get a grant, our Harbor Safety Program, which is a part of our OSPR obligations. So we get a grant annually. For quite a period of time, there was no increase in the cost of the grant. We know our costs go up each and every year. So this particular year, we were able to get an increase and get our grant up. So we're now at about $23,000 a year. This grant covers things for really the program and administration of our harbor safety plan. And our harbor safety is a really important part of what we do here. This is a lot of people. In fact, we have a meeting next week, but we're one of five harbor safeties along the California coastline. We're responsible for planning and safe navigation, for clean waters. And this really ties the operation of ships that come in, tanks, barges. Commissioner Dale just referenced the amount of fuel barges that come in and out of our area. We work on navigation and then general operations in and around the bay. And this is not just the Harbor District. This is all of the private terminal owners, our recreational fisheries, commercial fisheries, our aquaculture, maritime activities that happen, or our aquatic activities that happen in terms of a rearing and production here in our water. So this is a really important part of what we do. So I don't want to take too much time on it. I just want to recognize what it is, the amount of effort that goes into it. And so we call it the Secretariat Grant, and we've been receiving this year-over-year for quite some time. So, report. Staff recommends approval.
All right. Great. Thanks, Chair. Glad to see that they up the amount on it. But every year when this comes up, I like to say how important the Harbor Safety Committee is. You did a good job of outlining that. That was also just happens to be that I served on that for few years before becoming a commissioner, so it was my first connection to the Harbor District, but it it's a really important service that the district does for the community and for the Bay.
Other comments from or questions from commissioners? Okay. General public, have any comments or questions on this item? Okay. Let's move to the vote.
Commissioner Norton?
Aye.
Commissioner Benson?
Aye.
President Coleman?
Yep.
Commissioner Dale?
Yes.
And Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
Outstanding.
After 59 minutes, we are in adjournment. Oh.